Coopers was asking about buying fair equipment that would be more modern, fair equipment that would be more seamless. You know, of course, we all know you're passionate about free fares and finding a sponsor to be able to continue to do that. I just was a little concerned that maybe council didn't understand that the intention here is to continue to find sponsorship and not spend the millions of dollars that it would take. But do you have any different thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, the board approved doing this as a pilot program. And so obviously we want to keep all of our options open. Our best napkin number is about $5 million is the investment it would take for us to basically replace all the fare collection equipment. And we really feel that if we were going to collect fares again, we would have to do that. Maybe not right away, but it would have to be like in the hopper. Because as the council pointed out, if we're collecting fares, it needs to be seamless. There needs to be every way that anyone could ever want to pay for something, they should be able to pay for fares. But with all that being said, it is definitely our intention, and that's something obviously we'll make our case and present this to the board probably in July as far as how it's going. But the interest we had in the sponsorship program and actually the agreement we have worked out with Priority also refers to the fact of if everyone's still on board, there's an escalator that would increase the fee. Again, if both parties are interested based on ridership, and right now we're at 100% increase in ridership. So we're already thinking to the future, and that would be, that is certainly my intent, is to make sure that that we can continue to have the fares free. And if anything, to use the success to increase the amount of revenue, not just to cover the fare we lost from, you know, let's say if ridership goes up 100%, that means we could have gotten 100% more fares in theory if everything was the same. I would rather be able to say, well, not only are we covering the increase, but this is also generating additional revenue as well, and really make it a no-brainer from a business perspective. So that's kind of a long answer, but
yeah, no, thanks for those comments. Yeah, just
heard those comments, but yeah, that our intent is to do anything we can to not only keep fares free, but maybe even, you know, use this success to generate additional revenue.
That's great.
Yeah. Okay. Our project updates. So, and this is not an exhaustive list, but these are kind of the top on our mind. Projects that are done or nearing substantial completion, the station technology, screens, kiosks, PA system, and cameras are all almost all installed. The systems are up and running. We're working on kind of implementation and training. We are hoping, without over-promising, we're hoping to have the system mostly, we're hoping to have all the screens and kiosks that are installed fully functional for opening day, which is next Friday. So that will include the changing screens, the kiosk. Again, we're kind of pushing it to the last minute to have that be our soft launch. And certainly by the draft time, all of that equipment will be fully functional. Mentioned a little bit earlier the elevator and escalator repairs that are ongoing. We did a campaign that the board approved a number of months ago for station painting. This is focused on metal doors and railings. So if you've been riding the system lately, you've seen almost all of the stations have fresh coats of paint, in some cases different colors at some of the stations related to some of the adjacent artwork. And then we're working on kind of wrapping up the column lighting projects. We've got some lights, equipment that's been installed on Larned, and we'll be continuing to finish that and do some calibration and testing for that as well. Again, aiming toward the draft. We're doing, this is kind of a surprise element, since we didn't bring this to the board and didn't need to, but we are pressing the self-destruct button on our website, and we are replacing it with a simple, brand new website, which hopefully will be up and running by the end of next week. So very excited about that. It'll be very basic, but mostly in good ways. And certainly in the future, we could get more fancy with it, but it'll be very responsive and I think a breath of fresh air on the web. We have started, the board awarded a contract for our station power washing, and this contract included for the first time exterior station washing. So we've begun with that process. Michigan Avenue Station is the first one. We did the outside washing, and it is very noticeably cleaner, which is fantastic. All of the stations will have one cleaning by the time we get to the draft. You may also notice that two of the three trains we have in service have NFL-themed train wraps, so we're very excited about those. And there's a the fourth train is slotted to also have some sort of host committee-themed wrap as well. That train, which may be a single-car train or a double-car train, should be out before the draft. We are trying to line up a station domination package, is what we call it, which basically means that an advertiser can wrap or cover a whole slew of surfaces around one particular station. Our goal is to have a station domination package for every station by the draft. We may get there, we may not. Some of those will be commercial domination wraps that will be fully paid. And in other cases, we're working with nonprofits and other community groups that basically would just pay for the cost of the production and installation, but not pay us for a fee. We think that's a great opportunity to give more attention and visibility for some great causes. And we're working to kind of perfect our social media program, which is going to include a new round of influencers that will help us kind of get the story told about how People Mover is a great way to get around in the draft, and then other events moving forward. So that's quite a bit, but it's very exciting. This is just a quick graph for me. This makes perfect sense. Before we post this all the time, we'll have it a little more fine-tuned. But basically, the story we're trying to tell here is that the blue line, which is the one that's the lower line that says 2023, was our ridership by month for 2023. When we launched the free fare program, our goal was to increase our ridership by at least 50%, and so that's the dotted blue line. The green line, which says 2024, is our actual ridership for January, February, and it is our ridership so far for March. And why it's very exciting, but before I get to the next slide, these two gray lines that are above it are 2019, which is our highest year after the Joe Louis Arena closed, and 2015 is our highest year in recent memory before that, but also included a boost from Joe Louis Arena. Also, both years had the auto show in January, which is why the line is off the chart for 2015. The red circle here shows that there was a pretty low month in those 2 years in April relative to the others, and with the draft, I am hopeful and optimistic that our ridership this year will actually surpass 2015 based on opening day and the draft being in April, so that's, at least for all of us here, very exciting. A little more granular in the numbers, so January we were at 96% increase over last year, February was 114% increase, and then in March, so far, with 2 weekdays and 2 weekend days left, we're at 109% increase. If you extrapolate just a bit with simple math, we're on track to exceed last year's ridership by 130%, which is much more than 50 last time I checked, so we're really excited about that. Our service hours today, right now, and moving forward, three trains almost all of the time, 5-minute frequencies is what that means. We're still planning to have a fourth train available for the draft, especially at peak times. When you get to the fourth train, the difference between 5 minutes and 4 minutes is not that big of a difference. They're both great frequencies. It really is more about a capacity issue. The more trains you have, the more people you can move. So that's still a goal. And as has been publicized quite a bit, we are running 24-hour service from 7 a.m. on Thursday through midnight on Sunday. And in addition to making sure that we're available, as a lot of the NFL staff that are in town, media, support staff, personalities, need to get around. So that's one reason. But the real reason why we're running 24-hour service is so that we can support transit transfers between the east and west sides of downtown for DDOT, who, of course, has 24-hour routes and are basically breaking their system in half, given the barriers of getting across downtown, especially for those days. So that's the 24-hour service. We'll be running one or two trains in the wee hours overnight, but it will still be quality service. Security will be out there. The screens will be telling people when the trains are coming. So excited about that. And then the last item here is, mentioned this a couple times, the Net Promoter Score is a rating where we get feedback from riders. They can give us a 1 through 10 rating of will they recommend us to a friend or relative. And then you use the Net Promoter Score math, and it gives you a score between negative 100 and positive 100. And based on our tracking, and board member Polson has kind of needled us on this in previous meetings, and we're on the same page to increase the number of responses. But February, we had 35 responses, and our Net Promoter Score was 79, which is a fantastic Net Promoter Score. So again, these are just little things that we're trying to track to keep us on pace for the meeting, or for our service quality. Last thing would be for the draft operation. So this map kind of shows we've been developing something to help summarize what's going on downtown. This map shows the people mover system, the draft footprint. The three entry points are these yellow trapezoids. And then the green highlights are all of the activations that are planned outside of the footprint itself. So you can see that our system is very well positioned, not only to provide like a 30-second walk to two of the three entry points, but also kind of gets people around as they're experiencing. If they aren't interested or can't get inside the footprint itself, they'll be able to get between parking and all these other great activations, in addition to connecting to all the transit options, the airport bus, Ann Arbor, Smart DDOT, all that stuff. We're well positioned to do that above all of the chaos and road closures below. So really excited about that as well. I think that, yes, that is my last slide. So that concludes my report.
Okay. Thank you for that. So can you tell us what's going on at Millender Center? I mean, I know it's not the people mover that is doing all that work outside the hotel, but it looks like they've been doing a huge redo of their entry portico and had it all blocked off through the winter. And I know our station is above that. I'm just wondering, you know, what it looks like when it's done.
Yeah, all of the work that's being done is the courtyard is the hotel that's there. So that's their lobby and entrance, basically. So it's all a matter of rebuilding their entrance. The lobby that has the escalators and the entrances for the people mover is kind of insulated. There's a door that can get you between the two, but basically our area has been mostly separated from that. And just the track goes over. But when it's done, it's just going to be the new hotel lobby.
And we will still have our escalators running up to that station?
Well, they're the Millender Center's escalators, which is, so we can't fix them, and so we're trying to work closely with them to make sure that they can continue to repair them. But yes, those escalators that are in place you're talking about are unaffected by the entrance work.
Can they possibly fix it before the jam?
We're hopeful. Yeah. They do have, the good news is that there are two or three elevators that are in, at least two.
Three.
Okay. There's three elevators that are in that same lobby with the escalators. They're high capacity elevators. They're pretty quick. So it's actually, that's one where there's pretty good elevator capacity as well. But obviously the escalators are always something that should be run.
Okay, so with that, why don't we go to public participation? Are there any members of the public here who would like to address the board?
Anyone here in person? Yeah, if you want to grab, you can grab the mic and stand, or you can sit down. It's up to you. Is that microphone on? Can I see the... Use a different one.
It's on, but... Oh, it's here.
Yeah, it's here. Okay, very good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I can hear it. Okay.
Yes, yes.
Good afternoon. My name is Farai Hingan, and I am a co-founder of a Detroit-based startup. We are incubated at Michigan Central in the lab, and our startup is we are innovating at the intersection of fintech and the transit, so specifically powering payments and everything else associated with public transit. So very excited to be joining the board meeting here and just really understanding the plans with the people mover. I'm also a board member with the Transportation Group, Riders United. I just got elected a few months ago. Kudos to you, Robert, and the entire team on the work that you've done. I actually got on the people mover prior to coming to the board meeting, and it was really nice to see all the work that's been done, the monitor that you mentioned, et cetera. And obviously, riding on it for free was actually a nice perk. I'm quite curious to find out from you two items. So $5 billion is a hefty fee. And I know that you were asked about your thoughts on do you still continue to have it as a free payment system or $5 million? And what is the plans for that? So I'm quite keen to hear if you're going to continue on as free, then what will happen to the $5 million upgrade that you will take, and how do you plan on raising that? And then the second item is really great to see the graph that you presented with the ridership, with it going up. I'm wondering, how are you collecting the data of the riders? Because I think that would be a really a nice information to provide to the people that would be interested in advertising or in taking over the trend. So I'm quite keen to know how you're collecting and what type of data and what mechanism are you doing to collect that data. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take a moment and address those points. So the first one was the $5 million. So the $5 million is a estimate. So it's not part of a fiscally constrained capital program. And so if we were going to collect fares, we would have to basically prioritize our capital program to find the $5 million, and we could apply for discretionary grants, because those are few and far between for a project that's that small relative to hundreds of millions of dollars projects that usually get those. So that's a certainly a big incentive to try to continue the free fare program, because it's not just a matter of offsetting the revenue of the fare, but the fact that in order to collect the revenue that is offset, we would have to put that kind of investment in place. Unfortunately, the reason why it is that amount is that basically the entire fare gates would have to be replaced. We were looking at, before the free fare program, could we add some gadgets or widgets on that could do that? And we feel in the short term probably could get away with that. But our maintenance frustrations and costs and efforts continue to go up exponentially to keep those machines running. And so if we don't have to collect fares, the mechanism that lets people through, that part's fine. As long as we don't have to do coin slots, mag stripe readers, and all the other parts that are inside. So the second question, first part was the fare gates is how we collect our ridership currently. So basically every time you're going through, it's counting one. There are some annoying vulnerabilities there, which is that if you walk through the handicap gate, it is counting how many times you open it. It is not counting how many people go through it. So that's there's some education that we try to do to encourage people to walk through the turnstiles so that we can get a better count that way. In the longer term, we don't have cameras on board the trains. We've never had them on board. But there's some other communications equipment on the train that needs to be upgraded. And the upgrade systems that we're looking at often include things like Wi-Fi and camera systems and information screens, kind of like thrown in almost. It's like the easy part. So our midterm goal, I'll call it, is to change the way that we collect the ridership data to be onboard camera based rather than fare gate. And that gives you, rather than knowing how many people walk through a fare gate every day at a particular station and nothing else, you will know how many people get on and off at each station down to the second every day, which gives you just a much more robust set of data for not only just ridership, but also trips and origin destination stuff. That's fantastic. So that's what we're hoping to do in the midterm, to increase the data. Right now, it's just a daily count. What did the counter say yesterday? What does it say today? Put it on a spreadsheet, and that's what generates our ridership. I think that covered. Okay.
Okay. Well, thanks so much. Is there anyone on the phone that would like to address the board?
You guys see good in person still? Okay. Yes.
I see
Mr. Pulaski.
Okay, yes.
Go ahead, Robert.
Can everyone hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
Perfect, great. Well, good afternoon to members of the public, staff, and members of the board. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Robert Klosky. I'm a longtime transit activist, and I'm the vice chair for the Regional Transit Authority Citizens Advisory Committee. So I kind of just want to make my comments brief regarding the new sponsor that we have for the People Mover. I'm very happy to see that Priority Waste is happily taken on to be the sponsor for the People Mover. It's going to not just increase ridership, but tourism in the city. Because with the money that we have and the sponsor to be able to provide us the resources that we need, we can finally invest in tourism here in the city. As you all know, the DAX service has just been rolled out just this past week. What's not just is going to bring tourism, but more people to visit the city and have that direct connection. More so, the People Mover is that internal direct connection in downtown. And not to mention the fact that the People Mover is not just Detroit's history, it's old history. It's history that brings me back to when my mom told me that the People Mover was always a unique part of Detroit. Every time you get on the People Mover and once that chime goes off for the doors to shut, it just shows you that you're not just getting the nostalgia of Detroit, but it's also a great investment. It's giving you memories, but it also shows you how much the city has came all across years to come. I want to ask the board more so, with Detroit's history being salvaged into having more sponsorships to invest in more ridership, we also need to look at more sponsors. And I know, Robert, that's something you stated earlier in the meeting, but I want to see more sponsors like locally here in Detroit. Priority Waste is one of them, but maybe take after Smart's footsteps, maybe a partnership with Smart, partnership with Chicken Shack, or even local Detroit businesses, even Faygo, General Motors. They're all great partnerships that we can look at in the near future, but if we want to really continuously keep this pilot going of having free fares, investing in the ridership, investing in the service altogether with sponsorships, look at more big brand name businesses that would really help us carry on that continuous ridership and investing more in tourism. Again, Priority Waste is, you know, just a starter, and you know, I'm glad that they were able to take us on because they're a wonderful company. They serve the citizens of Michigan very well within the regions they do service. But long term, I want to try to keep that partnership going within main businesses that put Detroit right on the map, or even transportation, Smart or the Q Line, to be able to help us out in terms of partnerships, because main goal out of this, especially with the NFL draft, is ridership and sponsorship, but also that engagement with riders on what their version of public transportation is. This is an idea to get them on transportation, but it also, it goes a long way for it. We have to start making more investments to get more people out. Prime example, free fares. We've officially started that, and it's been a hit. I'm very excited to not having to put quarters into the machine. We just need to really start thinking towards the future, and I know my comment is kind of, you know, more focused on the sponsorships, but I really want to see some investment with other companies to be able to grow the People Mover, grow its ridership, continuously keep fares free on this service, but also partnering with local events to be able to provide service, even partnering with local parking garages like Metropolis to be able to get more ridership out on this, you know, these streetcars, even the Q Line, for example. But again, I want to commend the board, especially Robert, for all the amazing work you did to get this partnership going, to be able to grow the People Mover's name, and to find a way that we can spend our dollars more useful on services, to be able to invest in tourism and work with other local leaders, local partnerships, municipalities, and also transportation agencies to be able to provide the service that we need, not just for the draft, but future events to come here in the city. Wonderful job. Looking forward to more partnerships, sponsorships with other companies, and seeing the People Mover grow towards the future as we approach 2025 and all the amazing stuff we have coming up after the presidential election. Thank you so much for your time, and if anyone has any questions, feel free. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Brolowski. Are there any other members of the public that would like to address the board?
You came in. Did you want to make a comment? Or you okay. Just wanted to make sure. Looks like no other hands are raised.
Okay, so with that said, is there a motion to adjourn? Okay, yeah. Motion is adjourned. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
2 hours exactly.